Church. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mamas out there. And here are a few things we have coming up here at Only Believe.
Hey, gentlemen, Pastor Tim here. I want to invite you to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening on May 30th. This is a time where we just get together as guys. We talk about following Jesus. We encourage one another and we eat some pretty good food, if I can be honest with you. So that's happening May 30th. But if you'd like more encouragement, fellowship, than just once every couple months, we have Brotherhood Locals. They happen in some of our closest communities. There's probably one in your community. If there's not, we'd love to get one started there. But that's just an added bonus that you can meet with these guys on a monthly basis to just encourage one another in our following of Jesus. If you'd like any information about our Brotherhood stuff, reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. Hope to see you at the Brotherhood.
Prayer has the power to transform lives, and we believe it. That's why we gather for prayer on the first Saturday and the third Thursday of each month. First Saturday prayer from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. is a time where we get to come together, seek God, hear a word, press in together. And we also have the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card so we can pray and stand in the gap for others in our church family. And Thursday prayer is an hour of prayer in the youth sanctuary from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So come expectant of all that the Lord will do in our lives through this time of prayer. We cannot wait to pray with you.
And that should about do it. Yikes, that was a happy little accident. Hey, church family, Pastor Jared here. I'm just brushing up on my art skills. This reminds me of our vacation Bible school that'll be coming up here in June. This year's theme is called Masterpiece, and it's an art-themed vacation Bible school. As you can see, I am no master artist, but we will be teaching the kids about who the master artist is, and that is Jesus. Now, he is their creator, and he defines who they are, and they are made for good works in him. It's going to be an exciting time that we will invite you out to. Week of Pentecost, Sunday, June 7th through Wednesday, June the 10th. During each service, we'll have tons of fun, lots of prizes, games, activities, and just powerful services, times in God's presence, great lessons. It'll be a great time for boys and girls ages 3 all the way up through 4th grade. We invite you to come join us, and maybe you can become a master artist.
Hey, church family, pardon the interruption, but we need your help. One of our Serve Day projects is called the Food Box Fill-Ups. This is where we're going to collect shelf-stable goods that we can deliver to our local blessing boxes to help our community. But we need your help collecting those goods. So we've provided a list of the foods that we would like to collect. Make sure that you grab one from the Welcome Center in the lobby. And then over the next several weeks, you can bring those goods in. We're gonna have a donation station set up in the main lobby that you can drop those foods off. And then our team on Serve Day is gonna make sure we get those distributed, those blessing boxes. Thank you so much for your help. We literally can't do this project without all of you helping us out. So thank you. And remember, everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Come on out on Sunday, May 17th, for our annual church picnic at the Botkins Park immediately following our morning service. The church will be providing hamburgers and hot dogs, and we are asking you, our church family, to provide a dish to share with everyone else. So stick around after service, grab some food, and enjoy some fun and connection spending time with your church family.
Oh, you don't have to wash your hands.
I have so much time to myself. Hey, walk away when I'm talking to you. My kids really respect my privacy. When this timer goes off, please turn it off and do not tell me. Thanks. Here, can you use up all my battery? Don't call me when you get there. I don't want to know where you are.
It is just too quiet in this car.
Okay, we're about to leave for church, so if you're going to make a huge mess, you better do it now.
I don't know. Your dad usually does everything around here. All of these people are such good drivers.
Eating dinner is completely optional. Hanging up your towel is completely optional. Flushing the toilet is completely optional. Okay, this time, can you smile more like a crazed lunatic? Hey, you want to dig through the fridge for the fifth time today? I'd definitely rather be here than at the beach. I am loving the look of these chips on the floor. I am loving the smell of your feet in my face. I am loving this back pain.
Get a massage, ew, no thanks. Take anything you want from my closet and don't worry about putting it back. Don't look at the camera, look over there. If your sister takes your toy, just give her a good smack on the head. Hey, come drink that grape juice in here on the carpet. It's dinner time, everybody come get a snack. Hey, did you know you can wear the same pair of underwear all week long?
Ironically, my mom said every one of those things to me, so, you know. Anyways, good morning, everybody. It's an honor to be out here to minister on Mother's Day. And hi, I heard my, hey, Ezra, that's my two-year-old over there. Yeah, it's going to be a good service. I can just feel the presence of the Lord here with us today, so I'm encouraged. So thinking about Mother's Day, I try to think to myself, what would Jesus say to moms? You know, if Jesus were here and he was the one speaking, what would Jesus say to moms? How would Jesus encourage the moms with children? How would Jesus encourage the moms who have lost babies? How would Jesus encourage the wannabe moms who haven't been able to conceive yet? How would Jesus encourage the moms who are empty nesters? And you may be excited about that or not excited about that. I don't know. How would Jesus encourage the moms of children with disabilities? How would Jesus encourage the mom who has a prodigal right now? And so I just want to start off by saying, you know, today is a day in which we want to honor the mothers in our church. And I hope that I'm able to do that through the preaching of the Word today, but we also know and we understand that this day can be a very difficult day for some people. And we just want to bring honor to everyone today if we can. Some of you have experienced the absolute heartbreak of losing a child, either through miscarriage, stillbirth, or some other tragedy. And those of us who have never experienced such a tragedy cannot possibly understand the pain that you have experienced. And so we want to honor all of you who have lost children, and I hope that today's message will bring some encouragement and peace to you. To those mothers, or to those who are still praying and believing for a child and are still waiting through the tears and the prayers and the ups and the downs, your desire to bear children and the pain of that desire going unfulfilled has a long history in the Holy Scriptures. And while many of those stories have happy endings, those happy endings don't erase the pain of waiting. And so for your desire to bear children and your patience and hope and faith in the waiting, we just want to honor you today. To those mothers who are navigating life with a special needs child, I cannot imagine. Your selflessness and your sacrifice goes unknown by so many, and yet you continually pour out yourselves in love and care for your children. You are heroes, and we honor you today as well. And to the single mothers who are fighting every day to make ends meet and provide the best care and support for their children, we want to honor you. Being a single parent must be one of the hardest things to do in life. Every once in a while, I will allow my wife to leave the house for like 30 minutes, and it is the most difficult time of my life. Just for fun, this is a true story. My wife is here. You can verify this with her. With our firstborn, Quinn, when he was maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old, she left the house for the first time, right? We're new parents. We have no idea what we're doing. And she left the house to just go grocery shopping. So she was gone for maybe, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes. And Quinn, the moment she left, just started scream crying. And I just held him, you know, I was like, I don't know what to do right now, so I'm just going to hold you. And after 45 minutes, my wife came home to me holding my son on the couch, crying, while he's scream crying. It was just not good. And she never left the house again after that day. This was not allowed. That is a true story. That child broke me. Anyways, back to honoring the mothers, those single moms. Just your love for your children to keep showing up and doing whatever is necessary to give them the best life possible. Today, we honor you as well. So we love our mothers. Motherhood is a wonderful and a powerful gift. Mothers have a profound impact on their children, and that impact echoes throughout the scriptures. From Paul's letter to Timothy, in which he recalls the sincere faith of Timothy that was passed on to him from his grandmother and his mother. I just love that the moms were passing on the faith to the next generation, and that's recorded in scripture for us. What you do, moms, in prayer and just sowing the word into your kids, it matters. Even on days that it feels like it's not doing anything, it's making a difference. And then this one particularly I really like. In Paul's letter to the Roman church, he actually gives a greeting to Rufus in Romans 16:13. And he actually calls out Rufus's mom, which I just think is awesome. And he says, hey, your mom was a mother to me also. Some people here today, maybe you have a really challenging relationship with your mom. Or maybe you're a mother here today who has a really challenging relationship with one of your children, or maybe all of your children. And it can be very painful. I have some hope for you. The Lord spoke something to my heart during worship that I'm going to share with you towards the end of the message. But can I just encourage you with something? That if you're here and you had a difficult relationship with your mom, I love that the Apostle Paul says, hey, Rufus, your mom was a mom to me too. I'm grateful that in the body of Christ, in the family of Christ, that other women can rise up and fill the void that some people fill in their lives. That's just a powerful gift that you can bring to someone else. And I know that most parents really want to do their best. But sometimes when you come from brokenness yourself, the only thing you know is brokenness. And unfortunately, you just pass that on as well. But in the church, we have the opportunity to be for one another what maybe we did not get growing up. And so I just want to empower all you women. Be moms to everybody. Be moms to everybody. Because it makes a difference, so much so that in our Bible, it is recorded forever that Rufus's mom was awesome, right? So that's pretty cool. Maybe we'll get to heaven and God will be like, you know who else's mom was awesome? Boom. You can be that for people, and I think it's really, really cool. So we're going to dive into some scripture this morning, and here's what I want to show you is that, and so that nobody thinks I'm being too biased, I will just say up front, God also describes his relationship to us through the terminology of a father as well, like we do pray, you know, our Father in heaven. But God also, throughout the scriptures, refers to his relationship to his people using motherhood to describe it, which I think is really cool. And I think as we dive into this, you're going to realize that makes perfect sense. All right, so we're going to start, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Isaiah 49. You can just start turning there, but I need to set it up a little bit, okay? So I've been in youth ministry here at this church as the youth pastor for 13 years now, and in those 13 years, I have been absolutely perfect at everything I've ever done. I actually haven't been, and there have been a few instances over the 13 years where I thought, oh no, there are going to be some very angry parents with me. And I can tell you with 100% certainty that it was never the dads that I was afraid of. Let me tell you why. And there's a couple of parents in the church right now. I won't call you out, but they're Joel and Roz. See, I knew Joel would kill me, but it would probably just be quick, and he'd bury me, and nobody would ever find me, right? Roz, however, I have this deep conviction that Roz would make it very slow, painful, and that she would probably enjoy it. And so I was always much more fearful of Roz than I was of Joel. That's real. But, it, you know, moms just have this, like, overwhelming protective thing about them. And when you go to hurt, like, there's a reason we talk about the angry mama bear, you know? Moms will just absolutely go crazy. You know, dads will be very calculated and just go calm and just go deal with. Moms will just go crazy. And it reminds me of a story. There was, not to bring something super dark into this, but I think the story really pulls this out. There was a school shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, several years ago. And they had the barricades set up, and the police were there, and the parents weren't getting in until one mama said, "Forget you guys, I'm going to get my babies." And so she broke through the police barricade, hopped the fence, broke into the school that was on lockdown, didn't care about whoever the gunman was. I think she would have just killed that guy. And she went and found her first child, got that child out to safety. The police tried to stop her again, and she said, "I'm just going to tell you, I'll beat every one of you unless you go in and get my kid out. I will beat all of you to get back in there." She spent almost 2 weeks in jail for how she handled herself with the public servants there, but she got both of her kids out and didn't care, right? That's moms. Where does that come from, I wonder? Well, I want to show you, you actually get that directly. That is a direct deposit of God's heart for his people into mothers. And so in Isaiah 49, we actually read this, and again, as I read this, I think of Roz Clark. All right, you'll understand why. So Isaiah 49, starting in verse 14, we read like this. It says, "But Zion," and Zion is just a word that's used to describe Israel or Jerusalem. So it's just referring to God's people. "But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" So God's people are essentially lodging this accusation against God, saying, "We don't even think you care about us anymore." And here's God's response to them. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" He's like, just think about this for a second. This is how I feel about you. Could a mother forget that she nursed a child? Right? And then God says, just in case you have a mother that did forget that, he says, "Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments, and you will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will say yet in your hearing, 'This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone, but these, where have they come from?' And this is what the sovereign Lord says, 'See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Can plunder be taken from warriors or captives be rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine, and then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Whew! Doesn't that sound like an angry mom right there? I mean, seriously, what's happened here? Israel had been disobedient, rebellion against God, and so judgment came, and the people came, and they just totally mistreated God's people, and now they're crying out, and they're going, "God, we're your covenant people. Have you forgotten about us? Have you forgotten about us?" And God said, "No, I haven't forgot about you. Watch what I'm about to do. In fact, when I rescue you, it's going to be bad. Your enemies are going to come and put their faces in the dirt and lick your feet." I go, "Yeah, that's Roz Clark would absolutely, she would do it, right?" And he says, You know what else? "I'm going to make those people bring your kids back. They're just going to bring them back, and then they're going to be servants to you." not your kids, the people bringing your kids back. They're going to be your servants, right? I'm going to flip the situation where you were mistreated. Now they're coming back and they're going to serve you. And then God says, you know what? Just in case that's not enough, I'm going to make them eat their own flesh. And he's like, wow, okay, okay. Any of you had a crazy mom moment where you were like, I'm going to rip that kid apart and then feed him to himself? What's happening here? God's saying to his people, he's like, how could I, you're the child that I brought into this world. And I nursed you and I cared for you and I provided for you. How could I forget you? How, you think I'm going to let people mistreat my child? No. He's going to deal with it. So I love that the Israel thinks God has forsaken them and forgotten them. And God's response is, no, I'm your mother. I gave you life. I sustain your life. I know that some of you have said this to your kids. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it, you know. It kind of feels like God right there. He's like, no, the only one taking you out is me. There's nobody else gets to do that. And he says, and I'm going to make all things right. That's a mom thing too, isn't it? Just drama's happening in the house. Mom's like, I'm about to solve everyone's problem. You're going to hug each other and kiss each other on the cheek. No, do it right now. I'll beat you. So God, when he wants you to know, and can I just speak to you as a people right now, that there are going to be times in your life where things aren't going to go the right way for you. There's going to be times in your life where there's struggle, where people might take advantage of you, they might hurt you. Can I just tell you, this is God's heart for you. If you're with him and your faith is in Jesus, though it may feel like the world's just coming against you, you have a God in heaven who says, watch what I'm about to do. So we can take courage in that. We can take hope in that. We can know that God, he hasn't forgotten us. I know that sometimes when life gets really heavy, it can feel like, God, where are you? Do you even pay attention to me anymore? God says, how could I forget you? You're my own. I've carved you into the palm of my hand. Like there's nothing that's going to separate you from me. And that's just one picture that we see of God, and he uses motherhood to describe it. And then we get to the Apostle Paul. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, man, he's a legend in the Scriptures, obviously. More of the New Testament is written by him than anybody else. His missionary journeys that he goes on in planting churches is just incredible work. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we come to this point where he's reflecting on his ministry to the church. And he's going, how am I going to describe what my ministry has been like to the church? And as he describes it, I think every mom here is going to be like, yeah, I feel that. So 1 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 7, he says this. I'm going to start at the end of that verse 7. He says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Man, this is just kind of incredible, but just think about this. Paul says, and he thinks of a mother. So I don't know who Paul's mother was, but she must have been really amazing. Because he looks at his own life and how he's caring and ministering to the church. And he goes, it's like my mom. It's like my mom. And he says this. He says, he toiled for the church. Well, that sounds like what my wife does every single day for our kids. Toil. Frustration. 50 billion times telling them to pick up after themselves. You know, kid comes out of the bathroom. You guys know, how many have young children right now? Kid comes out of the bathroom. You're like, what is on your hand right now? You know, those moments happen. Or with the little one, I poopy. And then you see the hand go in the bed and you immediately know this is going to be a bad moment. You know, that stuff happens. It happens. He toiled for the church. And then he says he endured hardship for the church. Here's one thing I really love about my wife, and I'm assuming every other mother is the exact same way. If I'm sick, it's threat level midnight. Put me in the bed. Nobody touch me, nobody talk to me, nobody do anything until I'm better. And my wife allows that to happen. If she gets sick, I'm like, oh no. No, get the anointing oil. This ain't happening. Everything will fall apart. And what's amazing is I don't even actually have to do that, because my wife, when she's sick, she's just like, I can't stop. Can't stop. The kids, we got stuff to do. Even if I try to get her to stop. Any of you have a wife like that, that you're like, you need to stop? And she's just like, no, the kids need this. Yeah, that's mothers, man. Where do they get that from? God, apparently. And God didn't give it to dads. Or at least not this dad. I don't know. Maybe you're doing more than me. But they endure hardship. They go through difficult things, and they just keep going for the sake of their children. Paul says, we endured hardship for you guys. He says, we worked night and day for the church, night and day. That, again, I'm just going to brag on my wife a little bit. She does that. She's like, hey, I'll wake up with the kids. And I'm like, I don't even hear them, so that's a good plan. But she like wakes up all night long with them. She'll stay up all day. I don't know how she does it. God gives women a different battery than he gives men. We need a 12-hour charge or something, and she can do it on 2 hours. It's wild. But that's just, he's thinking of moms when he says this. Like, night and day. And he says, I did everything I could to not be a burden to anyone else. That is powerful. And that sounds like a mom. Because I will absolutely burden my children. This morning, I was like, make your own breakfast. You can do it. Mom would do it for them. And so I just think it's really powerful that Paul, when he looks at his ministry and he sees, it is significant, right? He looks at his ministry and he's thinking about how he does all of this stuff for the church, and he doesn't think of his dad, he thinks of his mom. That's just really, really cool. I think moms, you should get some encouragement from that. So motherhood is awesome, and it's rooted in the heart of God, but it isn't without its struggles. And so to finish, kind of just to round the message out, I just want to let you know you're in the same boat as Mary, the mother of Jesus, when you go through difficult moments with your kids. The first one I want to show you is in Luke chapter 2. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. This is what I affectionately refer to as Mary's what were you thinking moment. And we all know you guys have these moments. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, here's the setup, here's the story. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So he's 12. Any of you have a 12-year-old right now? Yep, a couple of you. God bless you. They're right at this stage. You're getting it in Scripture first, all right? This is the stage. There's what you need to watch out for. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." So if you have a 12-year-old and they all of a sudden go missing, they're probably at the church. Yeah. Start here. It's biblical. I don't know. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And Jesus says, well, why were you searching for me? Because you're our kid. And we couldn't find you for 4 days. You know, there's moments in life where this is the one area of my life where my wife and I are different. Right, so we were on a vacation with my wife's side, and we were at Hocking Hills, and we were staying in this cabin thing, and one of the cabins had this upstairs, and it had this deck, and I'm watching my oldest, who's not in here to defend himself, so it's fine. I'm watching my oldest. He's standing up on the railing. It's like, you know, this wide. He's standing on the railing with a baseball bat, and he's having them throw him the ball from like 18 feet below him, and he's swinging trying to hit it on the railing, And I was just like, what are you doing? Like, Mary, why are you causing me this anxiety right now? And my wife, God bless her, was just like, he's just being a kid. And I was like, what? He's going to die. Like, what are we talking about? So one area where we flip-flop. But you all have those moments. And I would encourage you today as you go out with your kids and they, you know, just tell you all the amazing things about yourself. Just remind them of the moments in their life where you were like, you almost gave me a heart attack in this moment. I think it'll be healthy for them. Yeah. They did not understand what he was saying to them. And I'm sure you've all had moments like that where you question your kid, why are you doing this? And my son's favorite is just, I don't know. And you're just like, neither do we. God's going to have to help us because none of us know what's happening right now. The next one that I want to show you is John chapter 2. It's verses 1 through 5, and this is what I affectionately refer to as Mary's did I stutter moment, you know, where you like say something to your kid and they act like you're speaking a foreign language. You know, there's zero response. And so I'm sure that you all have had a moment like what we're about to read and that you all handled it exactly the way that Mary did with Jesus. So this is John chapter 2, starting verse 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus responds with, woman, why do you involve me? Like, what am I supposed to do about it? He says, my hour is not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So we got this moment where mom notices a problem. And she looks at Jesus and she's like, take care of the problem. And Jesus is like, what do I have to do? What am I doing with this? What does this have to do with me? And my favorite part of the story is that she doesn't ever talk to Jesus again. She just looks right at the other people and is like, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And it's like, did I stutter, boy? Like, did you not hear what I just told you to do right now? Are we going to do this right here in front of people? You know, like you've had those moments. We've seen some of them happen in the lobby. We've seen them. And so I just want all you moms to know, if you've ever like had these moments of what were you thinking, or the moment of did I stutter? Like, do I need to say this again? Like, what's the problem here? You're just like Mary. You could be raising the Son of God and you'd still have the same problems. Yeah. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. Should encourage you. Motherhood is such an amazing thing. And we really do want to honor you guys. But if you would allow me, I want to kind of shift gears here for a minute because we want it to be encouraging. We want to celebrate you guys. But as I was sitting over there, you might have noticed Pastor Nicole prayed for me. And I shared with her that the Lord really put something on my heart. And, you know, as pastors, you get an inside look into a lot of people's lives. And you get an inside look into a lot of the hurt that happens in people's lives. And I wasn't planning on this. Like, this was not the direction I was going because it's Mother's Day and we want to celebrate. But the Lord really put it on my heart this morning, this grieving for mothers who are in a difficult relationship with their children, or for children who have a very difficult relationship with their mothers. And this is what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me today. And I want to read it to you real quick. It comes from Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And then you just kind of get this period of silence that we know about, like it's the last written book. And then you get a period, there's a gap. And if memory serves correct, it's about 400 years from the time Malachi stops before we get Jesus show up in the Gospels. So this is like one of the last things that's in the Old Testament as we're waiting for Jesus. And in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, or starting in verse 5, we read this. It's God speaking prophetically through the prophet Malachi. He says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." What is God's heart for relationships that are painful, for relationships that are just have a long history of just brokenness and hurting one another? What is God's heart? God's heart is to turn the heart of the children to their parents and the heart of the parents to their children. See, I'm new. I'm still really young at being a dad. But one of the things that I know about my own relationship with my kids is that little hurts, like just things when I don't handle situations the right way, I describe it to my children like the devil wants to come and build a wall. I mean, he's just always looking to build a wall. And every little hurt is like another brick that he gets the opportunity to add to this wall of separation. And that if we don't deal with the hurt, eventually the wall gets so big that in our hearts we kind of turn away. And we go, maybe it would be easier and maybe it'd be less painful to just turn away from this situation. And there's seasons where you're willing to keep looking at each other. And there's a powerful verse in the scripture that's talking about the light of God and the countenance of his face. And it says, turn your face towards us. Why is that such a powerful thing? Because that's indicating relationship is still there. Like one of the times that phrase is used is when people are confessing their sins and they're repenting and they're saying, God, turn your face towards us again. In other words, let us know that you see us, that you care for us, that your eyes are on us. And God speaks through Malachi and he says, here's my heart. My heart is to turn the hearts of the parents back to the children and the heart of the children back to the parents. That's what God wants to do. But one of the things that is necessary for that to happen is we have to be willing to walk in a lot of humility, because it's hard and it hurts. And I don't want to minimize that in any way. Some people have very, very painful relationships with their parents. But I believe that God is greater than any pain that we've ever gone through. I believe that. I have to believe that. And that if he can take one person and say, hey, I want to give you some understanding. I want you to kind of see that your parent, though they hurt you in some very significant ways, it was because they were hurting. And they didn't know how to deal with it. And so it just kind of trickled down into your life as well. That God is able, in his infinite wisdom and power, to bring about reconciliation even in the most broken relationships. I believe that. And it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that the path of restoration is necessarily an easy path. Like, I often think of these deep things like heart surgery. Like if there's an issue with your heart and they got to crack your chest open and rip, I mean, that's not an enjoyable process, I would imagine. And healing from that is probably not an enjoyable process, but it's a necessary one for you to be correct and whole. And so sometimes a moment of reconciliation in family comes to this point where it is very much like open heart surgery, where we have to go, God, I'm willing to turn back and face the wall and allow you to start tearing it down. Whatever that's going to look like, I trust you with the process. I trust that your grace will be sufficient for me. And I trust that you can mend what's been broken. Because, by the way, that's kind of his thing. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. Yeah. And he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our sorrow. So I want to end today with just some hope for broken relationships. That we can turn back to the Lord and we can say, I want to bring this relationship that maybe it's gotten to the point that I've turned away from it because the pain of trying to fix it became too great. So I've just turned away. And God says, my heart's to turn the heart of the parent back, and to turn the heart of the kid back. And that through faith, we can trust what God will do. And what we can do is this. We can do what's right, even if the other person doesn't. We can do what's right, even when the other person doesn't. I have a phrase I like to say. It's that you'll never regret not having anything to regret. And I'm pretty convinced that one of the regrets we would all have is that we didn't try harder, that we didn't do more, that we didn't just keep pressing in and allow that relationship, give it the time that God needs to work through it, you know? I don't want to be somebody that has something to regret. And again, hear me. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if we choose to go God's way and say what God's heart is to restore, then I'm going to just open myself up to that. I'm going to let God do his work. And I'll never regret moving in the direction that God wants me to move in, you know? So if you guys would you just stand to your feet? I just want to give the Holy Spirit a few moments to just come in, speak to our hearts. If you're here today and you have a fantastic relationship with your mom, then what I want you to do is just be prayerful for the people in the room who don't. Just right where you're at, just be praying for them and interceding on their behalf, that God would begin that process of just softening hearts, of tearing down the walls, that the enemy has come in and just built a wall that may seem insurmountable, but God can just destroy those things. They walked around Jericho and the walls just fell. God can do it in a miraculous way. But I want you to just start interceding for people in our church right now who may have a difficult relationship with their mother, or for a mom who has a challenging relationship with a child. Just start praying that their hearts would be drawn back to that child or to their mother. Just start praying that. And then in a moment, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit minister to us, okay? So, Father, as we just enter this time of just allowing your Spirit to speak to us, God, I pray that every one of us in the room, God, that we just open up our hearts to you. Father, that if we have a good relationship with our mom or with our child, that Father, you would open up our hearts to pray for maybe the person next to us, that we don't know what their situation is, but we just want to be lifting them up to you, Father. But for everyone in the room today who has that difficult relationship, and what we just pray that you'd start to speak to them, start to fill them with hope, that things can be different, that you can do a miracle in their lives. And just come and speak to us now, Holy Spirit. We give you the space. Would you all just close your eyes for me for a moment? I don't want to embarrass anybody today, but I do want to pray for the people that need it. So if you just close your eyes, nobody looking around, just a moment. If you're a mom here today and you have a fractured relationship with one of your children, would you just raise your hand real quick? I want to see who I'm praying for. Just raise it up. Just raise it up. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are so incredibly good and merciful. Father, for every one of those hands that went up, God, I don't know if it's them at fault or if it's the child at fault. But Father, I pray whatever the circumstance is, that they'd be able to walk in humility. And Father, I pray today by the power of your Spirit, the God of any hardness of heart, God, that would keep them feeling like they don't want to pursue that relationship anymore. Father, I pray that you would just melt it in your love and in your grace right now. That Father, you would pour your love so richly into their hearts, that Father, they would just be willing to go to the nth degree to see this relationship restored. Father, you knew that there would be people who would reject your offer of salvation, your free gift of love, and yet you still went to the cross and you paid the price for even the ones who would reject you. Father, may we learn from your example of love and be willing to completely just surrender our lives to that kind of a love for our child. Father, may we pursue them with the same kind of pursuit by which you pursue us. And Father, I pray that as they go through the difficult moments of trying to restore and reconcile, that Father, they wouldn't do it alone. God, I pray that you would give them courage to reach out to someone else and to say, I need help, I need prayer, I need support in this journey because I want it to be made right, but I know it'll be difficult. So I need some people with me to love me and help me along the way and help me to not give up when it is hard. So Father, I pray that you would raise that up for them as well. Father, I pray that they have people in their lives that you would just stir in their hearts to just become encouragers, to stand with them and to lift them up in those moments of struggle. And Father, I pray that we would hear testimonies of reconciliation that's taken place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you keep your eyes closed for just one more moment, if you're a child who has a difficult relationship with your mom, you're a child who has a difficult relationship with your mom, for just a moment, raise your hand real quick. I want to pray for you. Okay. All right, you can put your hands back down. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw every one of those hands. Father, you know. God, you know every one of the stories. You know every single block that was laid in that wall. Every hurt, every pain, every betrayal. You know it all, Lord. But God, you also know the hurt that caused that hurt. So, Father, I pray that you give them eyes to see their mother the way that you see them. Not justifying wrong behavior, but seeing the brokenness from where it came. And I pray that as they see with your eyes, that you would give them just an infusion of your love for their mother. God, help them to humble themselves and to walk towards relationship, restoration, and reconciliation. God, lead them in wisdom. Father, and I pray that you would raise up for them encouragement, accountability, support. I pray, Father, for those children that you would raise up some church moms to be able to love them and support them in this journey, Father, that there would just be women in this church that you just draw to those children to show them the love of a mother, Father, as they try to rebuild and restore these relationships. Father, I pray that every one of us would cling to the hope that we have in you, knowing that this is your heart. And I thank you that you're with them. Give them grace. Give them peace. Father, give them that comfort, God. Give them that comfort. You are the God of all comfort, so comfort them, Lord, in that journey. And we pray that we would hear testimonies of the restoration and the power of God in their lives. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Father, right now I just pray for every couple in our church today who's believing to conceive a child. Father, we ask you to just bless them, cause them to be fruitful and to multiply. God, that great blessing that you gave humanity at the beginning, Father, we just speak it over them. And we ask that in this journey of waiting, Father, that they would find encouragement and strength in your scriptures. Their story is not an isolated one. It is found over and over again in the pages of the scriptures. But Father, you were faithful and you helped people conceive. So Father, we pray for that miracle of life to happen in their marriage, Father. Give them that blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For the moms that are here today who have lost a child, Father, you know that pain.
You know that pain. You watched your own son die on a cross. Father, I pray that you would comfort them. Father, give them joy that passes understanding today, on this day. Give them joy. Give them joy. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Bless everyone here today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that as we go out to celebrate our mothers, that they do feel celebrated, that they feel loved. Father, we thank you for our moms. God, we thank you that you've blessed us with them. And we thank you that motherhood is rooted in your heart. God, even the did I stutter moments and the what were you thinking moments, that comes directly from you, God. That's your heart for your people. So God, we just thank you for our mothers. Bless them today. And may we all have an incredible time of just fellowship with our families today as we celebrate our moms. And we thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. We love you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your day celebrating all the moms. We'll see you Wednesday night. Be blessed.